that we offer to all. In times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gashami, Yutiyambi, Tatiyambi, Dharma. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami Dutiyampi Satyampi Dharma. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami Dutiyampi Satyampi Dharma. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Do God, the noble truth of suffering. Do God, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Do God, the Buddha, the noble truth of the expiation of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the expiation of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and each shift. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without self, anatta. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotee faith of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the content of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the hangers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. My compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. My compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves the path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precepts of restraint and religious observances. The precepts of obedience to all good laws. The precepts to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this meditation, I do confirm my acceptance of these ten very prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics. Nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teaching. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct yana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Vidyambi tatyambi sattva. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. Or even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. Suffering. If
time in choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and claim the beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Try it without the fans, and maybe people can let us know if it gets too hot. What shall we look at this morning? Yes.
I have a really fun confession.
Okay. We're ready.
Okay. So, this is a federal offense on both sides of the border. This is lined up with weapons and
things.
Okay. So, I was gardening. And I was given the task to deadhead calendula and lemon. And I can't kneel, so I was sitting, and I was doing the task, and I had this sort of sense that actually it was sort of like grooming the plant, not really just their scent. And it was kind of like being a bit of a midwife with this, you know, calendula here. And I had the thought that I was, we sold our house and we've actually got a new place in the last month. It's just been pretty intense and we're moving to a place that's kind of drier. And I was thinking, well, just a few of these seeds that I'm bringing in, that are going to go somewhere else. You may want to keep a few. I think they would do well. I'm sure they would.
Pretty darn dry here, so.
They've been trained.
Right.
and it's kind of on the ground, like, similar. And the cold. And so anyhow, I had a tissue in my pocket. I put the tissue and I just picked a few and I kind of put them in and set them in my pocket. No, this is a federal offense. You cannot.
On all kinds of levels.
Or, yes, nothing. And then I reflected, I just noticed what was arising and what conditioning wanted to say about it. And so I noticed that, okay, obedience to all good laws. Okay, let's see some laws there. having better ideas, I can modify this law because really I know this isn't going to be an invasive species. And then I realized, well, that's what people thought when they brought holly and ivy and lantana and
all the Japanese
from all the continents.
Yeah,
so I was really having a great little workshop, right? And then I wasn't sure what I was going to do with them. But, you know, I was just playing with them. My condition was coming in, and I continued my job, and that's fine, end of the day, and take off my work clothes. And I come completely forgot that I had a little plastic bag that I actually thought, well, I still don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I'm just going to put them in this little plastic bag. And you know, the pot, it gets so complicated. If you're just cleaning and you're not doing your thing, it doesn't matter. You don't have to figure out where you're going to smuggle your contraband. And I got down to the outhouse because I needed to use the outhouse. And this was like hours later, plus the same day. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it feels like lifetimes passed in this place here, mm-hmm. this concentration. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had my little bag with me, and I remembered I had some tissue. I thought, well, I'll just compost that, you know. And I couldn't find the little bag, but I found this blue plastic bag, and I thought, oh, there's a tissue in it. And it's like, I just was, well, I don't remember that, but I just threw it in. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was going down, and it was just like, and it reminded me, I just burst out laughing. Mm-hmm. It was so funny because it reminded me of the Zen story of, you know, the tiger at the top, the tiger at the bottom, mm-hmm. the rope, the two little mice chewing away, and then eating that raspberry. Mm-hmm. And who knows how that raspberry was composted in the person's body, and how the tiger ate that, and how many strawberries came out in nice little fertile seeds in the valley below.
Yes, well, I can tell you, there are many tomato plants that start growing in the huge compost pile where all of our composting things go. So we're all planting all kinds of things all over the place.
Yeah, I really love the fact that it didn't drop in until I dropped it.
Yeah.
It was probably still falling, and it was just like,
You know, and what I love about what you're saying, Janice, is that it's just that spirit of all of life is a playful workshop. Right? So we watch all of it. And with a lot of it, we have a sense that there's a conditioned process going on. But at least what I project onto what you're describing, if there's no problem with that, if we're just, yep, that's the conditioning that is, there's been, and gosh, and isn't that interesting? And then, you know, the thing goes down, and oh my gosh, oh, that's where life is putting it. And just kind of that delight in all of it when we're not identified with any of it.
Yes, you summarized that perfectly, because the identification would be with conditioning, making everything a federal offense.
Yes, I mean, the identification, there were so many opportunities for identification along the way, right? Yeah. But at least in what you're describing, no thanks. You didn't take that identification route at any point. You just stayed in the workshop.
Yes, and I really just love, I stayed in the workshop, and, you know, it all was because I was breathing these heavy, I'm noticing there were colonies of insects on them, that I could, when I could take some of the spent flowers, not all the energy was going into creating seeds, but the flowers could be there for the insects and critters, they may or may not end up on the altar someday, but then the altars have been spent. It's like fulfilling, refilling. Mm-hmm. It was really historical.
It was joyful.
I'll try to talk about it.
I can hear you fine.
I think at the last New Year's retreat, I got on a deeper level even that any that the voice in my head is just not as familiar.
No, you're right.
gestures and words. Mm-hmm. If particularly if it has any kind of agenda, any sort of worthless. And so this morning, the main has just been nonstop. And in a process of trying to, I've been in kind of a pseudo place of trying to ignore it or something or counter it, but countering it, ignoring it when they encountering it is another. I've been in that place trying to
Anyone else on that? So noticing the conversation there, which is, you know, that celebration number one, that we notice that it's there. But then the next place that we often get taken is to combat it in some way. To try to get out of it. And again, as you described, that's often in another conversation.
Thank you. Because what I just talked about, there's the underlying belief that this shouldn't be happening. I should be completely present and look at this study, look where I am, and I'm all involved with the worst thing again. And what is wrong with you? Why can't you fix this? And it's a thing I can get caught in the world of papacy. Something that I saw the other day in this very room under the example is not even that is personal. None of it is personal. That I can spend an hour in combat with voice in my head. And when the grace drops in, none of that is just right back here. Nothing to do, nothing else. No more. The end. Now.
That is so good. Because what you just reminded me of in describing that is the generosity of the moment. Because in every single moment, we can be done with it. Completely done with it. No matter how, quote, gone we were, how involved in this conversation, how terribly we were practicing, how, you know, all the great quotes, right? But just all of that, no matter what was going on, as soon as there's that grace, we realize, oh, that's just the next conversation. Then we can just be here. We can figure out what happened, why was it, what was going on, what, how long am I going to stay here? Just here.
Absolutely not. Jill. So, I mean, there's 1,000 things I could talk about. I mean, I talk about someone mentioned living like a million lifetimes or something. I feel like I've been here for a year. in a wonderful way.
Like a whole lifetime is lived. In that length of time. Because of that, because we're present to so much. You know, so many insights, seeing so many parentheses, being present to the billion things that are happening in life at every single moment.
Even meditation feels very long. And I'm not, you know, everything feels like it's in the moment and a million years long, you know.
It's that paradox.
That's paradox.
And a million years long.
But the one thing that I was kind of excited to talk about was, can people in the back here? What sort of evolved during that Monday was this idea to have no pain during meditation. Like, because coming here, I was a little, you know, think, like I almost didn't come because I was like, you know what, I'm really not in good shape to sit and do all these things. It's just, it's, I was having pain before I came here, and I was like, blah, blah. Anyway. But when I came here on Tuesday, Wednesday morning, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do everything I can to not have pain during meditation. Like, that's going to be my sort of other retreat I'm having. And it was extraordinary. Like, and what's funny is, I was going to say I committed to it, but it was committed. Like, that just became my moment-by-moment commitment. And so every free moment I had was devoted to working on that being my experience. And what's interesting, too, and I thought about this before I started talking, was it's not like, you know, the stretches I was doing were painful, you know?
Were
like,
not painful.
Yeah, they were, like, I mean, I was doing the tennis ball in the IT, you know, the ones that you are like, oh, man, this was never going to So I thought that, I don't know, it was just an interesting thing that, you know, the time that I was working on that, I wasn't in Shavasana, you know? I was, like, really working at it.
Yeah.
But I had the most extraordinary, it was so fun to sit down and know that I had put all of that work, or all that work was put into that.
Yes, yes.
And to have these beautiful meditations.
Wow.
Because, you know, in the past I think I would have taken a couple Advil, or like, I don't know, I would have done some other way to manage it. But to have that experience was really, really... Yeah, I guess it reminded me of practice, like the resilience that it takes in every moment, and that what's possible when I commit to something like that.
Yeah, you know, it is so practice, isn't it? I mean, every piece of it that you described, so coming up to before the retreat, feeling the pain there, and kind of that place that we all get talked into, well, it would probably just do better if you didn't do it, right? I mean, because you're not really in shape to do it.
Right.
And that could feel like, quote, taking care of myself, right? But instead, that sense of, we were talking, I think Sherry was talking about this on a radio show recently, that sense of, what I want is to practice. And so, I'm willing to give it everything I've got on every level, and in this case, we're talking about physically, so that I can practice in the way that I want to practice. And in this case, I want to be able to physically come to the monastery, and I want to be able to, as much as possible, to support the human being to be able to sit in meditation without pain necessarily being the main focus, right? And so in that, you know, it's so interesting because something like that could come from two really different places. One could be like, oh God, I really don't want to be in pain. You know, almost like a fear place, right? I don't want to feel that. I don't want to experience that. But at least what I project onto what you're describing, that's not at all the process that was going on.
Yeah. Because I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, I know that one very well. But the one that I haven't known recently is the one where you just, and that, like you're saying, that the pain is not the main focus.
Yeah.
I had all this other, I mean, I was working and, like, you know, like walking, and, you know, I was doing all of these other physical things too that I was, you know, the person, yeah, if I was in a conditioned mind, I guess, I would have thought, don't do those things because, you know, it's going to, whatever, the body, like you said initially, like, that's taking care of the body.
Right.
But it just felt so good
to
do all that stuff. I was like,
yeah,
it really felt like a party.
Yeah,
a party for the body.
And it's, you know, Bill, it's such a commercial for It's Not What It Has, because that place where, you know, so we start to be in pain. Okay, well, I better not do that. Okay, I won't do that. Okay, well, and everything gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And generally, it hurts more and more and more, and now that hurts it, and now that hurts it, and now that hurts it. And then it so seems to be counterintuitive that but now I'm walking, and I'm working, and I'm meditating, so it should hurt more.
Right.
But instead of being in that process of getting smaller and smaller and shrinking, you're in a process of, I don't know what word you would put to it, but, you know, love.
Mm-hmm.
A process of care.
Mm-hmm.
A process of attention.
Mm-hmm.
A process not at all of fear, but a process of wholehearted, you know, will I be in pain in meditation? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been full over that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give it everything I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I'm getting feeling a little emotion because, you know, this place really supports that, you know, everything about this place. And so I just feel a lot of gratitude that, you know, I couldn't have done it without everything else that was going on here.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for all of that.
Yeah, because it really, it takes a lot of practice. And I would project willingness and courage to get to the place that you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think someone was describing this yesterday when we had a fabulous opportunity to do an art project. And someone was saying, you know, there's a way in which watching how what other people, seeing what other people have created really inspires that creativity in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same process you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
That seeing that courage and that willingness in Sangha inspires me to be able to stay in that place, to go to that place.
Mm-hmm.
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 Thank you.
Let's see. I had an interesting workshop as well, and so I talked about in group about sitting through the pain in my hip, and Sherry said something about, anyway, there was sort of this, you know, torturous quality to it, and so after that I was like, oh man, like I just really got stuck on how unkind it was for me to sit and, you know, you're not kind, and, you know, that's the problem. You're just never going to be kind. You're never going to, you don't even know what kindness is.
Wow.
And
that's the hateful voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And like, even like that, just being compelled to be like, oh, of course you're not kind. I mean, this is how you grew up, and this is your
mm-hmm.
family, and, you know, how would you know how to be kind because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I was in the, doing the milk thistle, and suddenly I was just like, wait a minute, you're really kind, you know? like, that's ridiculous, you know? And so it was just so huge, so it's like, you know, I have all these examples all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and both things can be true almost, like, oh,
yeah.
So you did this experiment or you
yeah.
went did this thing that didn't maybe feel kind to the body, but it doesn't mean everything that conditioning is saying. It doesn't mean anything. It just happened. And so that was super exciting. And I had been kind of grumpy the whole retreat, you know, like, this is stupid, and, you know, just kind of, like, not having a really, for the first time since being at Montessori,
mm-hmm.
I'm always like,
that's for the fourth
time, I was like, this is the greatest thing, and the other thing about not knowing what things mean is, like, the last time I was here, it's like, everything was just, like, so great, spring, exuberant, blah, 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 and then I went home and had, like, the worst time ever, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I was just aware, like, it doesn't mean anything,
nothing.
Because you don't know where it's going, right?
No.
So
you don't know where those seeds are going to be planted.
So then that was like just a little bit of relief just to go, wait a minute, like, you're kind. And, but there was still this like, but I really need to talk about this because I really need to get to the bottom of this kindness.
Right.
You know? And then we had the mirror exercise and the fun, and it was just like, just dropped into just really had a fun time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, that's another, like, you're no fun, that's another thing too, like the serious fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so even after that, I shared a group, it's like, I had a fun time, and it was like, well, I'm not going to talk about having fun because I have a serious thing that I really need to talk about because I need to get to the bottom of this before I leave here or else I'm going to go home and I'm going to feel terrible and all this stuff. And then just saying that was like, oh, that's the shift in attention. Like, there's, that's like just a habit to think there's something to figure out about the kindness, but actually just focusing on fun was the complete antidote to, you know, it was just awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And then on the, then in the Keep It Simple, it's like there's a CD on kindness. Okay, so it was really great. And one more thing I wanted to say, maybe ask, is that the monastery also I feel really emotional about, because it really is like, that's what I love about being here, what I loved the very first time, because it's kind, because it's supportive, because it's just love all around. And there's just, it's just amazingly kind to me in a way that I haven't, don't see. Yeah. And when I said that the other day, Ashwini was saying that's like a model and it's even a projection, and I was like, no, like how, like that's huge also to think that. And anyway, I wonder if you remember what she said, and if you could say a little bit more about this, how even projecting onto the monastery, all those good qualities we do have, they are a part of life, and we can take that with us in a way.
Well, I didn't remember her saying that at all, but I would, the exact same thing was coming up as you were talking. That, so that's such a huge thing for you, right? So from the very start of coming to the monastery, you feel this great kindness. You feel this being cared for, right? And so that, it's that place that we talk about with projection, that we're only ever experiencing ourselves. Right? So I'm at the monastery and I feel that kindness. It's touching that kindness that's in here. If it weren't here, it would go right past me.
Yeah, and I never saw that. It was always like, it's this place.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And then, yeah, anyway, that was really great. To just know that's there and that's available.
Yeah.
And it's a model for what life is. It's like the whole setup is what life is, what's available.
Yes.
And that how that can be available anywhere.
Yes.
And that even in this, you know, loving, supportive environment, and then I'm feeling really like grumpy and anti. It was just, I don't know, there was something about just allowing that to be there.
That was coming up for me too. The kindness of the privileged environment.
Yeah.
Right? Because it does so many things for us. And in specific, in what you're talking about, is it's constantly putting up a mirror for us. Gosh, this place is so kind. And it puts up that mirror so we reflect back so that we can see the kindness is here, right? And in the same way, you know, I'm grumpy, you know, this is going on with me. I feel an unkindness that's happening, an unkind process that's happening. No one's going to come in and fix that for us. Take that from us. Because that process of seeing it and moving through it is so powerful that it would be unkind to take it away.
Right. And one last thing is, like, I think when I first would come, it's like, okay, this is what kindness looks like. So I'm going to copy what they
right.
do. You know, like, I'm going to try doing that. But actually, when I recognize that it is life, or I have access to it all the time, I don't have to copy it or mirror it. I just can be it.
That's right.
And everything, whatever's going on, can be in that container.
That's right. And you're describing a very profound place of practice that I think can drive, certainly conditioned mind crazy, where when we attempt to do that copying process, we go crazy, right? Because I'm copying something that someone did in this moment, and I'm repeating it in this moment, and it's not the kind of thing at all.
I know you said it.
Right? Exactly. Because the way that we always talk about it, it's a place that we're practicing. It's not a thing.
Right.
It's a place that we're coming from.
Yeah.
Right? And you're practicing coming from that place. Right? And I mean, that beautiful kindness of allowing ourselves to have whatever experience we're having and realizing that's all right.
And it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
And it doesn't mean anything because I sat through pain, like, you know, that doesn't mean anything. And it was like, it was great. It was a great
thing.
It doesn't mean anything about me or, you know.
In fact, it's a really important thing to be willing to try that, to experiment. Okay, well, you know, so there's the pain, you know. And so Jill was experimenting with that and saw all these things with it. You're experimenting with that and saw all these things with it. One of the places I think that's really easy for all of us to get stuck is, oh, I tried something and there's being inside and the heart opens and it was such a practice place and now I'm a good person. Right?
Now
I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Right? I tried something and I realized, gosh, that was conditioning. Maybe it took over. It was unkind. Now I'm the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But here's the thing that we never know. We don't actually know. We'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know what was coming from what and what was what. And it's back to June's thing. Luckily, we don't have to. Mm-hmm. We have no brand new moment.
Yeah.
But you're right. Where we're not going to drag in a copy of kindness.
Yeah.
We're just practicing being here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very kind process
mm-hmm.
to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the joy in the first two. And the joy.
I have so many things I want to say, but I think I'll just express just my deep gratitude for this day.
Mm-hmm.
I've been coming to retreat now for many years, and I think this was as physically fit as I've been
uh-huh.
for 20 years.
Awesome.
And so I'm doing Project Joy mm-hmm. and participating at least two or three days, not participating, but listening.
Uh-huh.
Two or three days a week. And I'm just enjoy so much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to remember, you know, because that little voice is going to get you right when you wake up in the morning.
Sure.
I'm very, very aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try, I have a mantra or something I'll switch and do. But I really wanted to express, it was like my ego attacked me as soon as I got here, you know, because it says, yeah, right, you know, you and just everything. And it was just crazy, and I thought, why? You know, when we go to these places of retreat, that it's time to turn up the volume.
And then we remember, oh, right, we know why.
And so sure enough, you know, I fell into this stuff, you know, for the first few days, and just really started feeling a little bit down. I thought, I should be so much further than this in my practice, and, you know, I do it daily, and I'm just religious about it. And it was interesting for me to work meditation. It's been amazing for me this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that even though I'm physically in good shape, that over the years I've had to go to school and certain things, and just be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, I can tell them I can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I did that. And I pulled leaves the first day, and it was good. And then my boy said, oh, they demoted you to the kitchen because you did such a terrible job.
And it's that one language which is so important. Not my voice, right? The
right.
voice.
Right. right.
They're that not taking it personally. It's so not personal.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so to finish up with that, because the working meditation was so powerful for me, because I have 6 pounds in the kitchen. I mean, I'm just, you know, in another person's kitchen. I'm fine in my own kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like put me in somebody else's kitchen and I can feel crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt I did okay. And I, you know, I'm not a vegetable eater. And I love it when I come here because you guys do such wonderful things with vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to do radishes and work with different vegetables. And but the very most blessed gift I had was working with Penny in the garden. On my last day, and I'm so sorry for the last day.
Mm-hmm.
And she put me in charge of something that I thought, oh, I can't do that. You know, it's just so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And she had me put the I don't even know what you call them, but cages around them,
mm-hmm.
and then pound in the space and mm-hmm. put the wire. And I thought, she just said, can you do this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is no garden at all. And so, you know, what I did is I went through that and I just did one thing at a time and it took my time.
Yeah.
I even had to take a short break. And I looked at that when I was done and thought, what kind of a job I had done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you know, just I was able to say that was a good, and what made it easy for me to do was I was present.
Exactly. And I just had the image as you were describing that of kind of standing back and looking at it, say, look at that, practice works. Right? Because that's what's happening. Life knows how to do all of it.
Yeah.
Right? But what would happen to us if we believe the voice, exactly as Jill was describing, is, well, I have to go tell the gardener that I can't really do that. Can you give me a different task? But then there's the practice that says, okay, well, how about we just take it one step at a time?
Yeah.
And if at any point we need to get assistance or whatever it is, great, we'll do that. But, okay, so there's this phase. Great. Okay.
That came up for me. I thought, well, then we'll fix them all, after. But the other thing with it is I really became more aware of paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
In the garden with the weeds one of the days, there was a little dish of this stuff. And I thought, okay, go slow.
Yeah.
And I found that if I would rush, I tend to be a rusher. For example, like I want to take a break. Well, I shouldn't take a very long break, so I'm going to move. And I really noticed that when I got into that mode, I would trip. And, and so I stopped and I said to myself, I'm allowed a break.
Yeah.
I'll take my break. And you know what I mean? I'm the only one that does it to me.
Well, it's not even you, is it? I mean, when we start to really pay attention, what we realize is it's possible for us to just be here. I mean, the way we talk about in this practice is be lived by life.
Yeah.
So I'm moving at the speed of life because I am life.
Yeah.
So when I'm paying attention, I'm walking. It's the speed that makes sense to walk. I'm pulling the weed that makes sense, you know, the speed to pull the weed. If I notice that it's time to take a break, I come back, right? So the one side of the duality is, you know, I gotta take a break. And then, you know, walk really slowly. So the right. Or the other side is, oh god, I better not. I've used the restroom, but nope, I'm sure it's another 45 minutes. I can make it, right? Or whatever it is. But then there's just that place where there's no difference between, in this case, Linda Joy and pulling the weeds. The way we often talk about it when a visiting monk appears, participating in practice is it's all one thing. We're stewarding practice. So if I'm cleaning the toilets, if I'm sweeping the porches, I'm stewarding that area as I steward the practice of this person. It's all one thing. It's not a duality. I'm either taking care of this or I'm taking care of that.
Even taking the break is part of it.
It's all part of it.
Yeah. And I want to just really express such gratitude because it's just awesome. And the awareness is for me, just in the last couple of days, which has been absolutely amazing. I felt the need to explain myself for certain things, and I just finally let go of that, of having to worry about, because I'm so run by what people are thinking, what I think people are thinking.
The double reverse projection.
And so I've tried to be really aware and shift, you know, that 2024.
And it reminds me, you know, for all of us, to just take some time to make recordings from that place. You know, make recordings of how kind the person is. Make recordings of what we know is actually possible when we're present. It's so important. Yeah.
Thank you. I want to express a lot of gratitude for the yoga for this week. It has just been so good for me on so many levels. And I saw something really significant last night in the yoga session that I want to look at because it feels related to the other exercises around play and just being, you know, improv and the whole spirit of improv. Mm-hmm. Because there was a sense of in some of the postures that we were doing last night where I would hear the voice say, well, now is my foot supposed to be this way, or is my arm supposed to be that way? And and it was that phrase, supposed to be, that just landed.
Uh-huh.
You know, so And I thought, that's it. That's the karma. Because,
uh-huh.
you know,
what
they're
supposed to be.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. it's not exactly the same as being right.
Right.
Or being correct.
Uh-huh.
Or proper, even.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, those. So when we talk about, oh, we've got to be a good, right person or all that, I could get kind of felt like sort of the karma, but not really. But it's that. You know how when you just nail the right word, how good it feels. Like, that's the word. And that's what I experienced. Supposed to, and with that, I just allowed myself to have my experience of the pose, whatever, and that was the beauty of having yoga with a teacher and in the class, because there's someone else's eyes on us, so that if we're doing something harmful, we'll get the instructions.
Sure.
Okay, and then you want to, you might want to, you know, and if there's no supposed to be in it, you know, there's no ego, there's no agenda.
Right. You get to have your own experience
in
that container of safety.
Yes. And what you were talking about earlier, about we project onto the monastery, so I'm projecting onto the yoga instructor, right, that there's a kind, non-agenda set of eyes on me, you know, who can just give me some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can find that place in myself that let me step out of the supposed to mind and also not into the do whatever you want mind, you know, because it doesn't matter.
I feel like doing that for
you. Yeah, exactly. That is perfectly centered.
Yeah. So we can use that projection to our advantage, really.
Mm-hmm.
So we're projecting that, and then we can actually move in and have that experience, embody that experience. That non-judgmental.
No agenda.
No agenda.
Yeah.
No agenda.
Like, I'm not trying to get you to look this way in a pose. You know, there's none of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And then it really allows you to first see the supposed to, which is so liberating in itself, so satisfying. So you see that the karma just fell, and then to transcend it, to go past it.
Yeah. And
so not have it be in charge.
Not having it run every single stinking show, you know, that we run in this.
Mm.
So I mean, I, and then once you see it, you just see it everywhere. It's like how I don't have to go down the litany, but you know, just everything.
We
can
all go
down
the litany. How do I use the
first teeth? Exactly, because then that's the setup for the duality, because then there's a supposed to and then there's a not supposed to.
Right.
You know? And then there we go. But so I've just been, and one of the things about this theme of the retreat, about it being summer, you know, and for me, and as a kid, summer was just play and fun and all in middle school. And because school was the land of supposed to, you know. And I was good at the supposed to. I was really good at it. And so to have the to have that time off, you know, and in a lot of ways that's where all the learning could really happen.
You
know,
you were out from under the supposed to.
Because like sports and people are all these kinds of different things, you know. But the thing that I saw in terms of how this retreat was structured and the activities that we did was bringing the world of, let's see how to say it, there are all these things that, projects and things that have been in the land that's supposed to, that now I think are sneaking over the border to freedom. and because I can see that, that border has existed, I can play with it now in a way that I don't think I was ever able to play with it.
Because you're seeing that border between supposed to and freedom, there are things that are kind of almost accidentally slipping over that border. It feels like it's opening a space for you to play with it. Because when we see something that big that's really been behind the scenes, you know, it may be a little while before it loosens up. So to have that attitude of mind of just playing with it, like you're looking at with Monica, just experimenting with it.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, one more, how are you supposed to work with it?
Yeah. And just one last thing, I got the guidance recently to rest more. And boy, that was a shocker, you know, to the system. Mm-hmm. To not do some things that I thought I was supposed to do, you know, walk certain number of steps and do all these kinds of things. And I could, you know, could see how that got sort of, the system was trying to now make that as supposed to too, but I, you know, but it wasn't going there. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like this whole empty room of now to get to explore rest. Mm-hmm. So it's like the assignment we were given to, you know, now you're just in front of a mirror.
Right.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Oh,
okay, there is no supposed to do. What do
you do? Oh, okay.
So it just feels like
a whole new area at the second time.
Yeah, just a real cavernous space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun this week.
Uh-huh.
My previous visits here have been very intense, very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, as hard as I tried to be intense and serious, I couldn't do it.
You just couldn't pull it off.
I couldn't do it. It's like, wait a minute. Isn't that how you're supposed to be in the mind? No, I'm having fun. It's joyful.
Wow.
And it just felt
weird. You guys hear it back?
The whole week just proceeded in that vein.
Uh-huh. So the sense, I'm going to reflect for folks back there, I can see, can hear. So a sense of, gosh, before coming to the monastery, it's been kind of serious, you know. And then this week, no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't do it. Just having fun.
So I guess there's a belief that I'm dropping that being here means intensity. And this can be fun and joyful.
Yeah.
And I also extended that toward, you know, looking at the whole process of suffering and ending that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where that doesn't have to be intense and serious. That can also be fun. Mm-hmm.
So in the same way that you realize there's a belief that being at the monastery is intense and serious, and maybe doesn't have to be, that same thing could be applied to the process of ending suffering. Anything. Yeah. It is. You know, and the thing that I think is so revolutionary about it is, and I was saying this to Sherry, oh my gosh, the number of things that actually happened this week on this physical property is extraordinary. And if you watch Sherry, who was essentially the person who was keeping the big picture and orchestrating it, it's easy to project she was having a lot of fun, right? And that place of what I always marvel at is, if you're going to try to get a lot done, intense and serious, those are places that most of us get talked into. I mean, okay, that was fun, now, here we go, right? We've got to get this stuff done. We're supposed to, right? All that stuff starts coming in. And the thing that's so interesting is that when there's that incredible lightness, and what I project onto it is a lack of attachment to the outcome and the timelines and the way that it happens, it's extraordinary what actually does happen. And so I just think of, you know, if we apply that to the process of ending suffering, right, which seems terribly serious, and so important. We need to be intense and serious. But if we apply that playfulness and that non-attachment and that, as folks have been talking about this morning, that experimentation, gosh, what might that be like?
I enjoyed it. And I'm grateful for the whole week for everyone who made it possible.
Yeah, exactly so. Yeah, which is all of us. Judy, on the hand.
So interesting to see how suffering happens and choosing between conscious and conscious. So using everything in my experience to see how I've caused myself to suffer, seeing all the content during the week of, okay, that's content. Do I choose to have that help me suffer or help me not suffer?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have played around with projections a lot So this morning, I chose to use that content and wrote a thank you letter to the practitioner from the monastery.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And, thank you, using projection as
very
possible for myself.
Uh-huh.
And that's similar to a gratitude list.
Uh-huh.
And it's a different twist because it's a listing of thank you for your contributions and I'll see you again and everything that's.
Well, that's high level, right? It's one thing to make a gratitude list, which conditioning hates anyway. But essentially, to make a gratitude list about this person, that is like the big guy. They're going to not be happy about that.
And so there is a. Availability of, well, I should do that from the monastery's perspective, so how about when I get home, how about a thank you letter to the teacher from my home, or my clothes, or my pencil, a daily thank you letter from all of this items, content, to end something.
Wow. Wow. I think some people are going to copy, I forget. That was very, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then to report them, I have.
I did record that. So thank you, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
To then keep the monastery in mind, to listen to that. Thank you, Larry, regularly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you, Larry. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Carol.
So people have been talking about the spaciousness, and one of the things I was so helpful to see, kind of, I don't know, the meta teaching, and I mean, there's so much, I mean, there's like, there's just so much packed into this week.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I know.
Gosh. But kind of a meta teaching for me in it all was the schedule, because of course, I thought I was coming on a work retreat, which meant we're going to work.
I mean, we did.
I was going to say, we did, Anne. But I
didn't notice that part. But Anne's been practicing for a long time, so she knows those things where we work.
And what I realized when people were talking, I mean, it's so helpful because I hadn't seen this till this group, so thank you to everybody. And it's so interesting because I kind of had set an intention to look at this. You know how you can come to a My Practice retreat and set your own intention for the retreat? So I thought, well, why can't I do that with this retreat? You know what? So I think it's kind of like I set this intention and I just realized in this group that, oh, wow, I got this teaching. But I realized that the karma that's there is when there's something to be done, something has to be sacrificed. The being has to be sacrificed,
yeah.
Right? So that means, you know, don't care for this work is really important to get done,
yeah.
And so essentially you must be sacrificed,
yeah.
Right? That's the karma.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you know, what is that, you know, to the nth degree of there's work to be done? I mean, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And what I realized was, something did get sacrificed, but what got sacrificed was all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires.
Wow.
Right?
So no wonder it doesn't feel like you worked.
Well, I mean, I don't feel like I feel like that's what the schedule did. I mean, it's like, you're only having one working meditation period a day, and there's all this stuff to be done. You got to be crazy.
That is such a huge teaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not about, of course, you know, I mean, how many times do I have to say this? It's not about getting anything done, right? It's about caring for the being as we do it. And there's always going to, I mean, the to-do list is never going to stop, right?
Really, especially in 328.
Yeah. So, I mean, wow, to have fun?
Yeah.
To do art?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like, what? On a work retreat? I mean, it's just so wonderful because I get to take that back into my job where there's a lot to do, and it's like, who cares? I mean, if there's not balance, if there's not spaciousness within it all, if there's not a priority of kindness and caring for the being and everyone involved, what is the point?
Right, what but truly, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that profound teaching of the schedule of kind of, again, it sounds like sort of the hidden belief that you came with of, you know, okay, I'm going on a work retreat. And to realize that what generally happens is when there's, quote, something to get done, the human gets sacrificed in that. But to realize that's not at all necessary. So much can, quote, get done. And we, what gets sacrificed is the thought,
yeah,
that hateful conversation, the stress, you know, the cortisol that runs through the body.
Yeah.
When we get into that, we can let that go and just live.
Yeah, the pressure, the idea that well, and the thing that just strikes me, I mean, I just get this on such a deep level, the incredible generosity,
yeah,
in that. Right? I mean, there is all this stuff to do. I think I mean, it's just, it's what we talk about all the time. We think we're giving and we end up, we receive, you know. So I'm coming to give to the monastery. and I'm just, and I'm, no, the monastery is saying, I'm just getting so much.
Yeah.
It's just astounding.
Yeah. You know, and what I saw when you said that was, so we're almost forced to let go of the idea that giving and receiving are two different things.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise we're going to get deeper and deeper in debt.
Oh,
because the more we give, the more
Yeah, but just the incredible generosity and the amazing teaching of you know, how to hold, you know, magnitudes of tasks in an awareness of,
yes,
what will get done, will get done. Kind of like what was being talked about in the garden.
Yes.
Okay, I have this to do. I have no idea if I can do it, but I'm going to take it one step at a time. I'm going to include the body in my awareness and care for the body as it goes on and
have fun.
So it's just, it was just a lot of gratitude for the whole experience. It's just amazing. And one other thing is, it's so helpful. You know how we talk about sometimes in practices, it's like peeling an onion and you come back to the same place. So it's not so much that the karma doesn't change, but you change as you face it again and again. So that's kind of been my experience this week. Just being here and being in the privileged environment and being in the structure to be, it kind of like when we put ourselves in this structure to just see, like, who is this person? Wow, this is a different person.
Right. Oh, it's such a gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be put back in familiar circumstances in some ways, and that helps to mirror how it's really different.
Yeah.
It's really different.
Yeah, and it was just so fun to listen to Project Joy in the meditation hall.
Yeah.
It's just like, now I just feel like it's like the Waltons, you know, when you say goodnight, chocolate. when I call in, I'm going to say, well, hello, everybody at the monastery. You know, it's like everybody's around in the world. And people, and Janet over there watching her big machine. And in Manchester. And all the people around the world who are calling in with us.
Yeah, we're all one. We have a couple of minutes, Kara.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great to hear everybody's experience because conditioning gets it like you're the only one. So when I hear all these aspects of what's going on this week, it's great. I also had that feeling of 3 hours of work. What's that? You know, I mean, and then we're going to go meditate
in 3 hours.
We can do yoga. So, yeah, and yesterday, Sherry, this is my first day to work with her yesterday, and she says, oh, well, I used to clean out 4 to 12. I said, I have a little more in me, you know, I keep going. But it was all a process to watch.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for me, I'm so glad here that we project onto the monastery because I've been in and out of all kind of ways of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I expressed the other night that the thing I went through with guidance, to some extent I did, and it was a real big shift and a big deal for me to have all that stuff. And then the next day something came and I'm like, oh, no, no, I'm done. I did the hard thing, you know. Have some peace. It was my favorite day. But I'm so grateful to hear that, you know, what was shared earlier about if you go through something, it's not bad and wrong, because that's so cemented that I'm way on the outside now. That was what it was, an outside feeling, you know, and it was a really, really low feeling, and I was like, I can't go through this.
Yeah.
Because it's not one of these things we're talking about in practice. This is something different.
Yeah,
it's a whole different health something,
mm-hmm.
and it just the, and it was like, oh, not here, not now, which is what I say everywhere. And it's
like, later, but not right now. Voice came along like, of all places, this is the place,
you know, to transcend this, to go through it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like that's what's happening. It
right.
doesn't.
Right.
It looks like, oh no, this isn't transcending, this is totally different.
Yeah.
And so,
it's a good one to get on the recorder. When I'm here, this isn't transcending, this is something totally different. You can know.
Oh, we're it's going to go from bad to worse, and you won't make it.
Right.
That's what this process is.
And then you just want to make that recording. So remember, every other time every single time you've made it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like even just starting the meditation today, I started to get the migraine sparkly, and
mm-hmm.
where it's a really horrible feeling, and I can't see, and
mm-hmm.
and it was like, I can't live through that, you know, in this room where we're supposed to be quiet, and
mm-hmm.
you know. And then it occurred, well, why don't I just sit to it? What will be the worst thing that will happen?
That's right.
When that
mm-hmm.
when those sessions start, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of moved away from the glare a little bit, you know, and I just stayed, and I don't have a migraine right now.
Wow.
Which is such a strong story.
Wow.
You're gonna be disrupting the group, the whole thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we all have that thought. But it's really, really it's like money in the bank. Start having experiences that go against what the shame is shouting it's going to be. And it's really good to have those recordings to go back to and say, this is what you're told, and this is how it turned out. And just hearing everybody's experience, it just magnifies the whole thing so much.
Yeah. Much gratitude.
Yeah. Much gratitude.
So I just want to express tremendous gratitude for everyone's participation this week. Truly, it isn't about getting things done. And it's extraordinary what has happened on this property. So, probably very few of us actually know everything that got done on the property. Certainly, no one listening to that podcast. Neighbors joining us, and even those of us who are on this group or that group probably don't have a sense of it, but it was unbelievable. So I was just thinking this morning, there's a road, in quotes, to the creek, and I realized we can now take away the air quotes. So there actually is a road to the creek that's about literally 3/4 of the way complete.
Mm-hmm.
So you could almost drive to the creek, which hasn't been true in a very long time. Mill Thistles have really taken over the property in the last whatever number of years. Anne knows, I can't remember if anyone else knows. There were Star Thistles at one point, which took over the property, and we heroically, there's not one Star Thistle on the property ever. And we're in pursuit of that with the Mill Thistles. So we pulled, oh gosh, what do you think?
It was a truckload.
Literally.
Yeah, I stamped it down. I mean, it's really, really cute.
Like compressed truckload.
Yes.
And not even all of it. We still have piles waiting to go into the truck. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have a beautiful wood shop that has needed to be cleaned out for quite some time, and we got a huge start on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have some of the areas of the monastery are heated by wood in the winter. So the kindling process is a big one to keep up with. And, a team got in there yesterday and neatened it all and stacked it and redid it. And that's probably, 7/8 of the way finished, I would say. And I think I was calculating this morning that 100 meals this year.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and all of the dishes that happened with that, and the incredible.
And the garden, you didn't mention the garden.
And I was just going to say, can I get help with the garden, when we started the week, had, you couldn't see into the garden. The whole fencing was covered with weeds, literally, that went as high as the fence, which are, what, 9 feet, something like that. So all of those weeds came out. And then someone who was on the garden crew helped me out with what kinds of
lima
things.
Lima beans.
Oh, yeah.
Fava
beans.
Yeah. All gone.
We talked about harvesting them, and Penny said, it shouldn't be more than a few several hundred thousand. And those fava beans, wow. So that's the cover crop for the that we put on the beds in the winter. And they're incredibly delicious and nutritious. So we'll be eating those for some time. Yeah. What else happened in the garden?
Netting to keep the deer from eating the rock roses.
Oh, yes, on the outside perimeter of the. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I pulled milk thistle out of the garden.
We planted kale and chard and tomatoes and basil.
Okay, well, then you'll have to come back. Yeah.
Well, and the trees got trimmed and weed eating got done out here.
And the weed eating got done.
That was very good to get done.
Yeah.
And if I might mention one other thing, and all of that got done, and the place is still clean because you know
yeah.
the chores were being done simultaneously. Back guano was being tweaked every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you know, normally when you like devote a bunch of time to one thing, everything else goes to pot,
mm-hmm.
and it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of it got really stayed.
And you know that we didn't. Not that many people have the great good fortune to have that task, but having the chores task is one of the most fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got, I think, 20,000 steps that day.
Yeah.
right, because there's just attending to everything.
Isn't it so good?
Caring for this and caring for that and caring for this.
So satisfying.
And that's, I project how the whole property feels.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's so extraordinary about it is that it sets us up as a community that folks that get to live here to finish out those projects in the next number of weeks. So it's very, very fun. So Steve Gesho, to all of you for your willingness to come here to practice. As you know, many people pointed out, especially Anne, the teaching that there was in all of it for all of us. Steve pointed that out too.
Mm-hmm.
So come back, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.